Good morning and welcome to the Abundant Living radio broadcast. My name is Tim Huth and I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls. Have your Bible open this morning in Mark chapter 6 for a message entitled, Consider the Loaves. Again, good morning, and I'm glad that you tuned in to the radio program this morning. Well, the trumpet hadn't sounded, so we're here for another week, and I was taught early that Sunday is the first day of the week, and there's no better way to get our week started out than to spend the day with the Lord, and it truly is the Lord's day. Hope you're able to get out today and worship the Lord in your local church. If you're not able to get out, maybe it's this radio program and other radio programs like this that where you get your encouragement, where we spend some time in the Word of God. So I'm glad you're here. And we sure are looking forward for the Lord's return. And, you know, you look at the news and you listen to what's going on and you think, boy, I tell you, the world's not getting any nicer place to live and a lot of challenges. And I'm just convinced that we as believers, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, are in a win-win situation. What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ promised He's coming again. And we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we just know the promise. He said He's coming again and He's going to do that. And so He could come today, we win. We go home to be with Him forever. And so there'll be a resurrection first. All those that have died in Christ, their bodies will be resurrected, reunited with their spirit. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That caught up, that's where we get our teaching of the rapture. The rapture of the believers. We'll be caught up together in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that's going to be. Won't that be something? And so, you know, the lost and sometimes criticize and they say the Christians believe in all these fairy tales. And we know better. It's the truth. And the same God that made us, the same God that created the heaven and the earth, the same God who destroyed this earth by flood in Noah's day, and the same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the same God that delivered Israel from multiple times of destruction, the same God that left heaven's glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary, bore our sins in His body on the tree, was buried, and on the third day rose again, is the same God that's coming again someday, who, when He comes, will receive us unto Himself, and we will be with Him forever. The Bible says there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more discouragement, there'll be no more depression, there'll be no more separation, there'll be no more temptation, there'll be no more death. We will be with the Lord forever. And I, friend, can't wait. And so we win. If Jesus doesn't come back today, we win. How's that? Well, He's left us on this earth to do a work for Him. And if we will be empowered by His Holy Spirit and follow His word, we will see Him do wonderful things in our lives and in the lives of others. We preach the gospel and souls are saved, lives are changed, homes are mended, churches are started, missionaries are sent. Friend, we are in a win-win situation. So be encouraged. Keep our eyes looking towards that eastern sky. And what a blessed thing. But you know, look, it just seems as if the way things go, boy, I tell you, the governments of this world are sure making a mess of it. And you wonder if they, at the rate they're going, if there'll be anything left. But boy, I tell you, friend, there's no way that they could mess this place up bad enough that Jesus can't fix it up when He gets back. So He's going to make it all new. We're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. After the rapture, there'll be the 7-year tribulation period upon this earth. After that 7 years has expired, Jesus is coming again to this earth. And we're coming back with Him, and He's going to rule and reign, and He's going to get it right. He is going to get it right. And so, boy, I tell you, it just gets me excited just thinking about it. And I'm so glad I believe. Somebody says, well, I'm not so sure Jesus is coming back. Well, friend, you're not going, because unless you believe, you won't be in that number. And but we thank God for that blessed hope. And so a lot of discouragement. A lot of people are discouraged, and you know, there's been through the years. In last Sunday's program, we talked about the prosperity of fools. And you look at it sometimes as Christian people, and usually it's the younger Christians, but you know what? I don't think any are immune to this. You look around and you think, boy, I tell you, the world seems to be doing well. They're prospering. They've got plenty of money. And And man, you look sometimes at the Christians and believers, and it's like, well, there's not quite as much money. Amen. And it seems to be troubles and trials and discouragements and sicknesses, diseases, things like that. And so it's confusing to some. It's like, well, how come these people who don't even believe in God or they have some religion that's not founded upon God's word, why do they seem to be doing so well? And why do those who are Christians seem to struggle? And, well, it's not always the case. It's not a constant struggle. It is a blessed life, but there are struggles associated with the Christian life, no doubt. But God says, don't be confused by the prosperity of fools. Don't be deceived. You know, if you prosper in this world without Jesus Christ, there's no success in that at all. To leave this earth and spend eternity in hell because you rejected Jesus Christ, there's no success in that. But if you were to put your faith in God, and even if you were to suffer all of your life, and really very few do, but you were to suffer all of your Christian life, and when you die, you're received into glory because of your faith in Jesus Christ, life would have been just a moment, and now you're all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, friend, is success. But you know, life is filled with challenges for the believers. And this morning, the message primarily is for the Christian. If you're listening to this program and you're not a believer, we would never want you to be deceived that somehow you could become a Christian by a process of time, maybe eventually, I don't know, turning over a new leaf. Maybe you begin to stop doing things and you start doing things, maybe religious things, maybe go to church, maybe even pick up the Bible and read it, which is good. Those things are good. Nothing wrong with those. But they don't make you a Christian. And so you say, well, I'm going to start, I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to start doing that. We wouldn't want you to be deceived. So let me just take a moment and let you know. The Bible says, in order to become a Christian, in order to become a child of God, you must be born again. And you must be born again. And so the Bible says that we're not, and he's not talking, God's not talking about being born of flesh, because we were already born of flesh once. But he says being born of the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that God has given us an opportunity to have our sins forgiven and to be saved, to be born again. How that happens is our sin must be paid for. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So you say, well, if somebody tells me I'm a sinner, maybe you're sharing that with somebody else. You say, well, listen, the Bible says you're a sinner. Oftentimes they get offended. Many times they're offended because they think of a sinner as some wicked person. And some of these characters that do these very, just abominable things. We say, well, that's certainly a sinner. Well, God breaks it down on a little more of an even playing field, and there's no doubt about there. Some wickedness is more. Even the Book of Romans talks about the exceeding sinfulness of sin. So there's no doubt there's some sin more wicked than others. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But God doesn't measure the depth of the sin or even the awfulness of it. He judges the reality of it. And so, friend, you may say, well, I've never killed anybody, or I've never committed adultery. I've never stolen, I don't know, maybe if you say, well, I've never stolen anything, that may be a stretch, but I've never stole big things. But the Bible says, God has told us what truth is. He's told us what righteousness is. And one lie makes you a liar. There's no doubt about that. One sin, it could be lying. It could be angry without a cause. Gossip, backbiting, stealing. Well, I've never stolen money. If you've ever worked for somebody and you've stolen time, then you would be classified a thief. No doubt about that. So God says, I'm judging the sin. All have sinned. And so somebody says, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that God will not dwell with unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the God that made the heaven and the earth, the God who has given us the air that we breathe, the God that has put the oil in the ground that we use to live, the God that has put the fresh water on this planet that we use to live, he is a holy and a righteous God. All his works are truth. Everything that God does is truth. You know, the Bible says the wisdom that comes from above, and this is God's wisdom, is first pure. And that's holy. That's right. Then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God is righteous and He's holy. And no sin will dwell in His presence. And so God in His love and His mercy made a way that our sin could be removed, that we could fellowship with Him. So He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, who became a man, lived the life that man could never live, and then ultimately went to the cross of Calvary, where God the Father, in His holiness and His righteousness, judged all of the sin of the world in the body of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus became sin for us. He took upon us the penalty of our sin. He took upon Himself the penalty of our sin. And the wrath of God was poured out upon Him. And He satisfied God's wrath for sin. And furthermore, He made the payment for sin, which is righteousness. He shed His blood for our sin. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. And the Bible teaches in Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 14, that we have forgiveness through His blood. And so I'm going to read that verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, we make a big deal about the Bible, and there are so many different versions of the Bible on the market. That's confusing, by the way. There are over 200 versions of the English Bible available in the world today. And, you know, they're all different. They all say different things. And so that would be confusing. I went to the bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and I asked them for a Bible. And the young lady said, "Well, which one do you want?" I said, "Well, give me the one God wrote." And, you know, I kind of chuckled. And she looked at me like, I really never even thought about that. It's God's Word. And so, you know, and right here in Colossians 1:14, it says it's that our forgiveness comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the NIV, the New International Version, the New American Standard Bible, all they've taken the blood out. It doesn't say in His blood. And I believe the King James Bible is a perfect preserved Word of God. And through much study, and you know, people say, "Well, there's flaws in it." You know what? I don't know. I've been reading this thing for over 20 years. I don't know how many times I've gone through it. I mean, over and over and over and over, wore them out. And I've never found an error in it. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy on the planet, but you would think by now I'd have found something. And you know, so most people that say they found a flaw have probably never even read the book. And I've found things that I'm not sure about, and I look and I study, and some of them God has cleared up. Some of them, I'm still learning. And it's an amazing book. And you know, it would be just like the devil to work to try to attack God's Word so that people wouldn't have it. And so we need to be careful about that. But when Jesus shed His blood on the cross, He provided for us eternal life. And so they took Him from the cross. The Bible says that Jesus gave up the ghost. I just love that. They didn't take His life. He gave it willingly. As the Lamb of God, He gave Himself. They could not have hurt a hair on His head had He not let them. They had no power over Him. And you see through that process of His arrest, and where they bind Him and they drag Him into Pilate, they drag Him to Caiaphas, they take Him back to Pilate. Literally 6 trials, and all of them where He was found innocent, yet He was still crucified. And he was smacked, He was beaten, He was scourged, ultimately made to carry the cross up that hill, and then nailed to the cross. They had no power over Him at all, lest He would have he surrendered Himself. And what a blessed thing. And boy, I tell you, I would just so much enjoy if you would just listen, friend, this morning. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. You know, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying that you don't have some nice qualities about you. And this isn't between you and I, or between you and any other human being. This is like God in heaven that says your sin is separating between you and Him. And then unless your sin is removed, not only will you be separated from Him in this life, you'll be separated from Him when you die. And so there is you are an eternal soul. You will not go when you die. You're not going into the ground and cease to exist. Your body will go in the ground, but your soul will live on. You'll either spend eternity in heaven with God, which is God's plan, it's His will, or by rejecting Christ, you will reject any hope that you have of heaven, and you will accept the judgment and the condemnation. And when you die, you'll go to hell forever, for all eternity. And this is God's word. You say, well, I don't believe that. Friend, I don't know what to tell you. It's God's word. This is what God said. The one who made you, the one who gave you life, and tells you, you must be born again. Friend, you must be born again. If you leave this earth without Christ, there is no hope. There's no second chance. There is no purgatory. Nowhere in the Bible does it give hope after a person dies. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so a gentleman passed away last week. And so the priest got up and said, let's pray for him. There's no use praying for somebody that's already passed away. Nothing can change. The decision for Christ has to be made before a person passes away, before they leave this life. Friend, I want to encourage you. When they took Jesus from the cross, after He had given up the ghost, after He gave His life, they put Him in a tomb. And the Bible says on the third day, Jesus rose again. He rose again. He walked out of that grave, and He lives forevermore. He made the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And He said, whosoever believeth in Me shall never die. And that death He's talking about is the second death. That's hell. Friend, if you put your faith in Christ, you will not have to fear where you're going to go when you die. And so the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. And so this is the hope that we have, and is in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you there. Now, believers, with the few moments that we have, I want to share something with you out of Mark. And it's a familiar story in Mark chapter 6. It's what we would typically know as the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus's disciples just come back. They've been out preaching and teaching. And so Christ had instructed them. He'd given them power to go out, and they had gone out, and they'd actually seen some miracles performed. And they came back, and they were telling Jesus, you know, I can imagine the meeting was exciting. And they're talking about the great things that had taken place, and they're talking about the things they had taught. And so Christ says, well, you know, let's go out. Let's go out into the desert place, and let's take a break, you know. And so He's giving them an opportunity to have some rest. Well, the Bible says in verse 32 of Mark 6, they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto Him. And so what an amazing thing. Jesus says, you know what, let's get out. Let's get away for a little while. Let's have a break, and we'll just fellowship a little bit. Well, you know, as He moves into a ship and they begin to cast off from shore, there are people that see Him. They know Him. And they assume, hey, He's going to the other side. So these people gather and they take off. Well, the Bible says they got to the other side before He did. That's some excited people. And so as they get out of the ship and there's much people, the Bible says, verse 34, Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. And boy, I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, what an example He is. And as He sees these people, He doesn't say, oh man, we came out here to get a break. What are these people doing here, you know? And this is our time to get away. It's our vacation. He looks at them and He has compassion on them. And, you know, it immediately strikes Him in His heart. And we cannot forget about people. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own lives. We get so wrapped up in our own business. We get so wrapped up in our own cares and concerns. We forget that there's people around us, that we ought to have compassion on them. We ought to love them. And so Jesus never lost that compassion for people. And He taught them, the Bible says, many things. Verse 35, Mark chapter 6. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him, and the disciples came unto Him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. the disciples still speaking. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And so the disciples come to Jesus and they said, it's been a long day. And he's been out there teaching these people all day long. Let me just say, why is it that we can't endure the preaching and the teaching at church for more than 15, 20 minutes, you know? And if Jesus taught all day, people stayed all day. And they were to hear the Word of God. Even believers today, you know, we want to get in and out of church as fast as we can. Give your preacher a break. You know what? If he's been studying all week and he's excited about the Word of God, and he gets up and he just wants to give you what God has put upon his heart, sit still, pay attention, and enjoy it. Maybe say amen, you know, if something gets hold of you, you know. And we live in an odd day. The people just can't endure the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. These people sat all day long. And I'm not saying that maybe our church service need to be all day long, but every once in a while, I certainly wouldn't mind. And it's good to be together. It's good to fellowship around the Word of God. It's the eternal Word of God. You think you got something coming out of your TV set that's any better than what's coming out of the Word of God? Not on your life. And besides, we're not supposed to be fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness anyways. And I've never seen anything come out of that television set but unfruitful works of darkness. And so we need to learn to endure sound doctrine, endure the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And I don't know, maybe there's some preachers listening today. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to making programs and to turn the church into a sideshow and get the band in there and give people the rock and roll music so they can sit around and just like they would in a rock concert or some honky-tonk or a bar. And to get, I mean, just sing good, godly, God-honoring, Christ-honoring music and fellowship around the Word of God. Open that thing up and just preach. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And just love them. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's give the people grace and truth. And so Christ preached all day. What a blessed thing. Well, now the disciples say, hey, these people are hungry. We should send them away. And it's amazing their perspective. They said, hey, let's send them away. And Jesus said, no, have them sit down. Have them sit down. And so he sat down, and one of the disciples, he says, well, give them something to eat. They said, we don't have anything. And they said 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough. He said in verse number 38, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, Jesus sat down that day, and he broke those 2 fish and 5 loaves and fed those 5,000 people. I want to share you something out of John and in the closing today that when the Bible says when Philip comes, he's the one who found the boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he says, Andrew says to Jesus, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? I want you to think about something as we close our program this morning. Here comes Andrew, and he says, there's 5,000. What they have is there's 5,000 people that need to be fed. I mean, that's a huge burden, a huge need that they have. And so he approaches Jesus. He says, if we have 2 fish and we have 5 loaves. You know, at that point, if he would have just stopped, could you imagine Jesus' response would be to turn around and he would have said, Andrew, you actually believe that 2 fish and 5 loaves is enough? They would have had a revival right there. I mean, I can imagine Jesus saying, I haven't seen that kind of faith in all Israel, just like he told the centurion. But you know what? No, that's not what Andrew said. He said, we have 2 fish and 5 loaves, but what are they among so many? You know, believer, maybe today you're sitting here thinking, I've got this problem, and all I have is God, but you know what? All you have is God, and that's all you need. He's all you need. And so why don't you just take God at His word? The Bible says that God has promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that He would love us and He'd stay with us till the end. He's promised to supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus. And our faith is in Him. Our faith is not in the world. Our faith is not in our own ability, our own talent. Our faith is not in other people. It's in Jesus Christ. And friend, be encouraged. Stay in the Word of God. God has an answer for every question you have. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you. I hope the program was a blessing to you. And if you'd like to discuss any of these things, or if I could be any help to you at all, again, my name is Tim Huth. I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church. Our phone number is 330-688-7437. We're located at 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue. That's in Cuyahoga Falls. Our service time, Sunday school on Sunday mornings, 9:30. The Sunday morning service at 10:45. Sunday evening service is at 6 o'clock. And the Wednesday evening service is at 7 o'clock. You could also visit us on the website at StoweFallsBaptistChurch.com. And a friend, I hope you have a blessed day.